another month.
Next week's the test. She's a teacher.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's beautiful out there. It's going to be a great day. Our call to worship this morning is going to be responsive, so we're going to follow along on the screen. Come, let us give thanks to the Lord with our whole hearts.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord. Studied by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Let us worship God with minds renewed and hearts aflame.
It is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to begin this morning by singing Together Waymaker. So the words will be on the screen. They're also printed in your bulletin if you need them. I invite you to stand if you're able.
In this place.
joining us on Facebook this morning, welcome, we're glad you're here. Leave us a comment, let us know you're here, and hit that share button so others can worship with us. And we are going to take a few moments to greet those around us in the name of Christ. I'm going to invite the children to come forward. So if we have any kids that want to come forward, anyone else that's feeling youthful this morning, you're welcome to come down too. No one's feeling youthful this morning, huh? All that sunshine. Good morning. Good morning. I saw you running around with coffee this morning, so I know. Well, that's good. It's got sugar in it. So, if I say the word worship, what do you think of? Jesus, okay. What else comes to mind when I say the word worship? Church? Praising? That's a good one. Anything else? What about you guys? What words come to mind when I say worship?
Prayer.
Prayer? Okay.
Prayer.
What was that, Louie? Spirit.
Singing.
Singing. They're all good answers. So there's a lot of different ways that we can worship, right? In fact, most people think when they say worship, they think of coming to church. And a lot of people think worship is just the singing part. But the Bible verse that we're going to look at today, Paul tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, and that is how we worship. So that sounds kind of weird, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what I think that means is everything that we do can be worship. Everything. So, we're going to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand up. You guys know this game called Simon Says. Stand up. You can do this. We haven't started yet. We got one of those today. All right, but so you guys all know the rules of Simon Says, right? You guys have played this before. While we're doing this, I want you to think about how amazing the human body is. Right? The human body is pretty amazing, right? That all these pieces, parts work together and all these things, you know, that go on. We learn about all that in school. But it's amazing how God has designed the human body. And I just want us to think about that while we play Simon Says. Okay? Simon Says, raise your left hand. Left makes an L. L. Put your left hand down. Oh, Simon didn't say put your left hand down. All right. Simon says put your left hand down. Simon says put your hands on your knees.
Simon says, stand up. Put your hands on your shoulders. Now you're catching on. Simon says, put your hands on your shoulders. Simon says, touch your nose. Simon says, touch your chin. Touch your elbow. Not bad. Not bad. All right, good job. You can have a seat. So that was worship. Does that sound kind of weird? Right? But we can worship when we play games. And when we do things, so I asked you at the beginning of that game to think about how amazing the body is, that our body works together. We have all these different parts that all have their own purpose, and we can move, and we can breathe, and we can eat, and we can sing, and we can talk to each other, all these things that the human body can do. And when we think about that, and we play, and we use our body, that is worship. When we work, that's worship. When we go to school, that can be worship. If we do it for the glory of God. If we do it to say, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me the ability to work. Thank you for giving me the ability to play. And everything that we do can be worship. Remember that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for these kids and for the incredible bodies that you've given us. We thank you that you have called us to worship. God, help us to live in a way that everything that we do is worship. That everything we do, we're thinking about who you are and who you've called us to be and how you're continuing to teach us more and more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may go back to your seats. I mentioned earlier that today is Pentecost. We don't talk about Pentecost that much, do we? And I think that is a problem that we should try to rectify. So we're going to talk a little bit about what it means that we celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate Christmas because that's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, that God came to the earth in human form, and how important that is to our faith. And we celebrate Easter, and we celebrate that Jesus died and came back from the dead, that he conquered sin and death, and how important that is to our faith. But we don't often talk about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. Pentecost comes from the Greek word that means 50th, and it was 50 days after the Passover. And we know that Jesus died Passover weekend, right? He celebrated Passover with his disciples, and then he was arrested and crucified. That all happened Passover weekend. So 50 days later was Pentecost. And just prior to that, Jesus had talked to his disciples. He had promised them that the Holy Spirit was going to come. He said, go wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come, and then he ascended into heaven. And so on Pentecost, all the disciples gathered in Jerusalem, and all of the Jews from all over the world come to Jerusalem to celebrate what the Jews at that time called the Festival of Weeks, which was that time, you know, 7 weeks after Passover, right? So they're all there to celebrate, and all of a sudden, there's this sound. It said a sound like a rushing wind, and the disciples start speaking in all these different languages. And they start preaching the gospel in all these different languages. And all these people who have gathered from all over the world that speak all these different languages, they begin to hear the good news in their language. Because, not because the disciples were educated and they knew all these languages, right? One of the amazing things about the New Testament is that the people that Jesus chose for his disciples were not educated. But the Holy Spirit filled them and gave them the ability to preach the gospel in all these languages. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that on that day, 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus. And the church was born. So Pentecost is the birth of the church. I think that's pretty important, don't you? Right? Now, we don't talk so much about the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit? Let's begin by talking about what the Holy Spirit is not. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost. It's not a breath. It's not a wind. It's not a fire. Those words are all used to describe the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We know God the Father, we know Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is that third person. Not because third in importance, but third as the final person of God that's revealed to us in Scripture. And because the Holy Spirit is fully God, that means that the Holy Spirit has all of the knowledge of God and all of the power of God and all of the authority of God. And here's where it gets really good. Romans 8 tells us that if we've put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. All that knowledge of God and all that power of God, all that authority of God dwells in us. Now, that doesn't mean that we have all that knowledge and power and authority, but all that knowledge and power and authority dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and teaches us and counsels us and gives us the ability to understand Scriptures and learn about who God is and who He's calling us to be. I think that's pretty cool. And a pretty good reason for us to celebrate Pentecost today. Amen. We're going to continue our worship through our joyful giving. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. As I read last week, God calls us to be cheerful givers, not to give out of compulsion or guilt, but to give with cheerful hearts. So we do that this morning through our joyful giving. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all the ways that you provide for us. God, we pray for this church, that you would continue to work in us and through us. Help us to continue to be your hands and feet in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we are going to spend some time in prayer, and as we've been doing these last few weeks, I'm going to encourage you to let us know who you're praying for. So if you have somebody that you would like us to pray for, just shout out their name, and when you shout out their name, we're all going to say together in Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather in this place to worship. God, as we've shouted these names out of people who are near and dear to our hearts, that all of us don't know all of the details or all of the conditions or all of what's going on in their lives, but you know all of it. You know every detail. You know exactly what each of those people stands in need of today. And God, we lift them up to you. We put them in your capable hands. And we gather here and we think of what an awesome gift it is to worship you. As we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday, where we remember what you did on that Pentecost so many years ago. When you spoke through your disciples in such a powerful way that people from all over the world could hear the good news in their own language. And through, help us to hear the Holy Spirit, that still small voice that calls us, that guides us. God, help us to live in worship to you. Yes, we gather here to worship, but we can worship when we leave here as well. We can worship in our homes and in our yards and in our cars and in our workplaces and in our schools when we do it for you, when we do it for your glory and not our own. God, help us to live as worshipers. God, we come before you this morning and we confess that we have fallen short many times in the past days and weeks. And God, we confess that to you. We agree with you that we are broken and sinful, in need of a Savior. And God, we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. That in the midst of this system of sacrifices where the Israelites were coming constantly offering sacrifices, that Jesus came and was the final sacrifice. The only sacrifice that is ever needed for us. That through his death and resurrection, we know that sin and death are defeated and we can be reconciled to you. What an amazing and awesome gift that is. Lord, hear us now as we pray the way you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing together hymn number 161, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We're going to sing all. I invite you to stand if you're able.
Oh,
Have you ever opened a letter and knew right away that something big was about to happen? Maybe it's a letter that you've been anticipating. Or a letter shows up and you just know when you look at it that it's something important. Maybe it's a wedding invitation or a job offer. But something big is about to happen. That's what happens in Romans chapter 12. We've spent these first 11 chapters. Paul has been laying out his theology for us, and with one word, everything changes. He says, therefore. And we know whenever we see that word, whenever we see the word therefore, we have to look at what's ahead of it. And we know, because we've been digging into it deeply, right, that the last 11 chapters have been Paul just laying out his theology from beginning to end. And now he says, therefore, and for these next few chapters, he's going to talk about what do we do with that? How do we live now that we know these things? He goes from this deep theology to boots on the ground. How do we live this out? It's not just a new section, it's a turning point. And we're going to see what it's all about. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What a powerful image that is. That's our call. It's our act of worship, offering ourselves up. And over these next few verses, Paul paints us a picture of what it looks like to live that out. Not as individuals, but as a community shaped by grace. And before I read the scripture, I want to give us just a little bit of historical context. And some of this is going to be repeat if you've been here the last few weeks. But I want us to get this because it's important for us to know the context into which Paul is writing. So the church had been established in Rome, and this was not a church that Paul had established. It was established in Rome, and it was established with Jews and Gentiles together. And if you've been here for the last few weeks, what happened in AD 49? And remember? Emperor Claudius did what? He kicked out all the Jews. He expelled all the Jews from Rome. So now the church is continuing to grow, but it's all the Gentile Christians that are now leading the church. And then Claudius dies in 54 or 55, and the Jews are allowed to come back. So the Jews have come back, and they've been gone for 5 or 6 years, and the church has changed under new leadership. And there's conflict because the Gentiles have their way of doing things, and the Jews have their way of doing things, and they come together, and they're trying to figure all this out, and they're living in this conflict, trying to decide how does all this work. And it's into that reality that Paul writes this letter. It's into that reality that Paul speaks in a very pastoral way. So let's dig in. Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, so, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, to the one who contributes in generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, and to the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Paul begins by urging us, by the mercies of God, to offer our bodies, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That language is kind of weird to us, right? Living sacrifice. But if you're a first century hearer, reader of this letter, you're familiar with the sacrificial system, but sacrifice means something has to die. You bring a lamb or a goat or a bird, and you offer that as a sacrifice, and that animal gives its life in that sacrifice. And here Paul is turning things upside down, as he often does. And he says, I want you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. This is an ongoing thing that happens. It's an ongoing worship. It continues every day in all that we do. And he doesn't say to present your thoughts or present your intentions. He says, present your bodies. We give our whole selves to God in worship. And worship is not confined to what we do here on Sunday mornings. It's not confined to singing or praying. It's all of those things combined and more. It's what we do with our hands, with our feet, with our resources, everyday decisions offered up to God as an act of devotion. The word that Paul uses here when it says, in our translation, your spiritual worship, it's kind of a tricky one to translate. Some people translate it as spiritual worship. Some people translate it as reasonable service. It's kind of a tricky one to understand, but the root word is logos, which is logic and reason. And so from that, we can assume that what Paul is saying is we're called not to a mindless worship, but we're called to a worship that thinks. And we're called to thinking that worships. We're called to offer all of it to God. Paul continues. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think about that word, conform. Conform is that pressure from the outside. That pressure from the outside to fit into a certain shape or mold. He says, don't be conformed to the world around you, but renew your mind. Read, study, learn, understand who God is and who He's calling you to be, and allow yourself to be transformed. Allow yourself to be different from the world. Don't get caught up in the same things that the world gets caught up in. Absorb the values and priorities of God, not the values and priorities of the world. Transformation, metamorphosis, we've heard that word, right? That metamorphosis, that change that happens. Whenever I hear that word, I always think of the butterfly, and I know I've used this illustration before, right? But this caterpillar goes into a cocoon and winds itself up into this thing we call a chrysalis, and it stays there for a period of time, and then there's a crack, and that chrysalis starts to open, and that caterpillar comes out with these big, beautiful, amazing wings, and it's able to fly. It's an incredible transformation. It's what God calls us to. He calls us to incredible transformation, that we're not who we were before. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This isn't just self-help or positive thinking. Paul is talking about mind renewal shaped by the Spirit, by Scripture, by prayer, by community, and the grace of God. And what does this renewed mind do, according to Paul? This renewed mind can discern what God's will is. When we spend time in God's Word, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time together in community, we begin to hear God's voice. We begin to understand. Some people say, I just don't know. How do you hear God's voice? How many of you call, when somebody calls and you pick up the phone, you can tell just by the voice of the person who it is? Now, of course, nowadays we cheat because our phone tells us, right? But you know what I mean. When you hear somebody's voice, if somebody behind you calls your name, and you just know from the voice who it is, right? Why is that? Why do you know their voice? Because you've heard it over and over and over again, and it's imprinted on your brain. You can see where I'm going here, right? The more time we spend hearing God's voice, the more time we spend reading God's word, spending time with Him in prayer, the more time we spend hearing His voice, the more familiar it becomes. And it's easier to discern what that voice is when we hear it. And it's easier for us to discern what God's will is. He changes gears a little bit in verse 3. He zooms in on humility. He says, in essence, don't think too highly of yourself, but don't think too little of yourself either. He uses the word sober judgment. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Humility is not walking around small and saying, oh, I'm nobody, and don't mind me, I'm not really here. That quickly becomes a false humility. Humility is understanding who you are in a real way, knowing what you're really good at, and knowing what you're not really good at. And knowing what you know and what you don't, and being able to admit that and own that and live into that. That is humility, using sober judgment. And he says it's grounded in the faith that God has given you. He says, don't think too highly. He does some wordplay with this word think. He says, don't think too highly, but instead think wisely, think soberly. In a world obsessed with comparison and platform and branding and self-promotion, Paul calls us to a grounded, grace-based self-awareness. And notice this, the measure of faith, it's not something that we earn or that we generate, it's given to us. It's given to us by God. This grace is given. This faith that we have is a gift from God. And that means that none of us boast. None of us boast in the gifts that we have. They're a gift from God, and He calls us to use them wisely. None of us boast, and none of us need to hide. You have been given a gift. Use it, whatever that gift is. Use it for the glory of God. So our job isn't to inflate or diminish ourselves, but it's to think rightly and to serve faithfully. To illustrate this, he talks about one body with many members. He uses the human body as an example. He says, look at your body and all the different parts and how they all work together. Imagine what life would be without opposable thumbs. Right? We have all these amazing parts. It's really amazing when you start to dig into the insides, and if you ever studied biology or medicine, it's amazing what the human body can do. And he says, all those parts, and they all have their function, and if one of them's not there, it causes problems. Each has its function, and it needs to do what it needs to do. And he says, we're like that. As the church, as a body of believers, we are like that body. Each of us has a function. You don't want me to play the organ. Not a good sound. But she's really good at it. We probably don't want Loie to preach because we'd never go home. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Gifts, and he calls us to use those gifts, right? We need people who are good at teaching Sunday school and teaching Bible studies and working with kids and working with older people and working in the kitchen and all the things. We need all those things to be the body of Christ. And he lists seven spiritual gifts. He lists prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, and mercy. Not all flashy. And they're not meant to create hierarchy. He doesn't say, this one comes first, and this one comes second, and this one comes... He doesn't say that. He just says, whatever your gift is, use it. And use it to the best of your abilities. Serve. Teach. Give. Lead. Do it with all that you've got. In other words, if you have a gift, don't sit on it. Don't ignore it. Don't diminish it. Don't use it. Use it. And use it with humility, gratitude, and love. So what? So what does this all mean? What do we do with this passage of Scripture? What does it mean? It means that worship is not just what we do here. It's how we live out there. It's how we live every day. It means discipleship is about offering every part of our lives, every part of every day, our jobs, our families, our hearts, our habits, all as living sacrifices to God. And it means being transformed, not by pressure or by trends, but by grace and truth. It means humility is not optional, it's essential. Each of us has a role to play in the body of Christ. We are many, but we are one. And when each of us thinks rightly and serves faithfully and loves humbly, something beautiful happens. You know what that something beautiful is? The church becomes what it was meant to be. A living, breathing expression of God's mercy and grace. This is the kind of worship that Paul is talking about. It's thoughtful, it's embodied, it's rational, and it's spiritual all at once, all rolled together, and it all flows from the mercy of God. And that's the good news today, that we don't offer our lives to earn grace. We offer our lives because we've already received grace. The cross is behind us. The resurrection is within us, and now by God's grace we live as worshipers. Transformed, renewed, and alive in Christ. Amen? Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for this letter that Paul has laid out for us his theology and helped us to understand who you are and who you're calling us to be. And now he turns a corner and he starts to talk to us about how to live. And God, this idea of offering our bodies as living sacrifices, that everything that we do is worship. God, help us to live that way. Help us to worship you in all that we do, everywhere we go, each and every day. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to sing together, I Surrender All. It's hymn number 408. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. I invite you to stand if you're able. quick announcements before we go. We are going to go to a Whitecaps game, if you're interested in joining with us, on Tuesday, July 29. We're going to go. Tuesday nights are bulletin nights. So if you bring your church bulletin, you get half off. And we like anything that's half off. So we have a sign-up sheet. They're going to allow us to reserve a block of seats. So if you could sign up if you're interested, then we know how many seats we want to block off. There's a sign-up sheet out in the entryway. We got a couple of meetings this month. Diaconate meets this Wednesday at 6:30, and the trustees meet next Sunday following worship. It's the following Sunday, June 22, the trustees are going to meet following worship. And this week is also our community breakfast. Wednesday morning, 9:30, we meet down at Holly's. If you're available, come and join us for breakfast. So as you leave from this place this morning, go knowing that God has filled us with His Holy Spirit and He's called us to live lives of worship. Go in peace. Amen.